Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Forging Heroes. Today, this is the 30th episode. Pretty excited about that. 30 episodes. And it feels pretty good. Now, for this 30th episode, I'm really not kind of, it's not really associated with the number 30 or anything. For this 30th episode, I just thought I'd kind of take everything back. And this isn't really, hopefully you learned something from this. I guess this is more a rambling thoughts of things that have been going in my head the last couple of days. And I just kind of wanted to keep it a little bit looser, maybe keep the structure of this a little bit more loose and flexible and just kind of see where it goes. Now, this is just something interesting I was thinking about, and obviously ties into the hero's journey, and we'll talk about that. But I wanted to talk about the motivations of a hero. And at first you're like, well, you've already talked about this. We've talked about how humans have this need for freedom. We've talked about finding meaning in life. We've talked about stoicism, which is dealing with what happens in life and dealing with it the best way. We talked about all these types of ways that lead heroes to make their choices, right? But I guess I want to take it a step further, go dig down a little bit deeper on what establishes this sort of moral philosophy that guides them to make those decisions in the first place, right? Stoicism, for example, is a philosophy. It's a moral philosophy. But what led that collection of thoughts and ideas and ideologies become what is known as the philosophy of Stoicism? What leads all of us to have that moral philosophy that guides and leads our lives by the decisions we make, and how that influences the heroes in making their decisions? One of the biggest decisions being to depart from the comfortable, ordinary world and leave what's safe and known and go into the unknown, that crazy, scary place that is the special world. That's where all the challenges come. That's where all the crazy stuff arises, right? That's what we're talking about here. And I kind of been thinking about that this last couple of days, of that higher power that guides these heroes, that unites them all. That, I don't know, that the sort of inner morality of humanity that sort of drives us and unites us. Obviously, we can agree on some things. We can disagree on others. For example, like some big, I guess I was just thinking this idea of this moral philosophy, right? I think collectively, most of us agree that killing people is wrong. We can also agree that stealing is wrong. Or, you know, there's all sorts of things like that that are pretty basic. And we've all come to that conclusion. But it's not just because they're inherently good or bad. But I think it's because we've all collectively agreed that that is something that we all believe in, that feels right. Now, some people say, and I've heard this before, maybe the more realistic or cynical type people will say that humans act out of selfishness and selfish impulses because of basic necessities, right? So if you're going to steal, it's probably going to be motivated because you need something. Or if you kill someone, it's probably motivated out of some sort of grudge or some need of some emotional need or something like that, right? Who knows? And that might be true. But yet, why do we still always agree that even though that might be a need to steal food if you're going hungry, why do we still feel like it's a bad thing? Somehow we've all come to this, maybe not all of us, but a lot of people have come to that conclusion that stealing is bad. And again, this kind of goes back to this idea of a moral philosophy. I love that phrase, this moral philosophy. Just what is philosophy? Something you live your life by. It's a set of choices and ideas and, I guess choices that are made because of the ideals that you hold and the beliefs that you hold. That's what leads to having a moral philosophy. It's the fact that we do all have basic needs. We've all got very primitive and basic needs that we are striving for, but yet we choose to live higher than that. We choose to live better than that. We choose to live in a way that benefits others. That's a very selfless thing to do, right? If I'm walking to the store and I'm really hungry and I'm like, man, that chocolate bar looks amazing. What's just keeping me from stealing it? I want it. It would taste good. It fills my needs at the moment. I don't do it because that's just not what a productive member of society does. And it's just interesting, I think, that we've all come to those certain points of agreement. Now, obviously, there's other points of agreement or disagreement, I should say, where there's lots of controversy because we don't agree on what's, you know, fundamentally right and wrong. This isn't about just like basic facts, you know, like we're not trying to prove. Moral philosophy isn't about whether, you know, gravity exists. It's not about whether, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. It's not about, you know, just basic chemical formulas. It's about it's truths that can't be defined entirely. And I think as people, we've been trying to answer these questions since the beginning of time. We've been trying to answer these questions of morality and, you know, ideologies and philosophies, and having an idea of what governs our choices. We've been trying to decipher and decide what's fundamentally right. We've been trying to, you know, I guess quantify it and measure it. One of those ways is through religion. I think that's a very big one. Religion has been around since the beginning of time itself. And religion doesn't necessarily have to be a structured thing with priests and teachers and leaders and things like that, but some sort of belief in a power greater than oneself. It's power, you know, of God or in any of his forms or by any of his names. You know, religion definitely feeds into that and fuels a lot of what we establish as, you know, moral philosophy. For example, Christians throughout the world hold a lot of the same fundamental beliefs that, you know, kind of guide how they live their life. They live by the Bible and the preachings and teachings of the Bible. And I just think that's interesting that we can all, you know, a lot of people kind of agree that those are all very good and noble things to live by. And yet no one can prove that they're 100% true. They just feel good, right? Now, another part of it, you can still be kind of a spiritual person without religion, in the sense of being in tune with, you know, yeah, being in tune with your emotions, with your, I guess, your spiritual well-being, how you feel as a person, how you feel connected to those around you, how you feel connected to your community, how you feel connected to the higher power of whatever, the universe. Some people just believe that, you know, maybe in the goodness of humanity or whatever it is, whatever their higher power is that kind of fuels a lot of, it fills in the gaps is really what it is. I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing, but I think having, whether you have religion or not, it tends to fill in the gaps in that philosophy that you're trying to establish. We try to establish these things early on as we're young. We start seeing the world through different lenses of people as we talk to people and learn from people. Dealing with a lot of, you know, humanitarian work here, and maybe lots and lots of people who come oftentimes to a new country, a foreign country for the first time, it's interesting to see what kind of opinions people have about certain places or people or customs or culture. There's a lot of studies done on showing that, you know, that kids typically, like under like 13 years old, tend to be a lot more flexible and open to new things, new foods, new words, you know, parts of culture that they don't understand, versus when you get to around 14, 15, 16, you start to be more solidified in your ideals, because you've, that's what we do. We have to have some sort of set of the beliefs that govern the way we act all the time. That's just how we operate. It just seems to be the way we do things. You know, you always heard, like, we've heard the phrase, like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And that kind of comes from the idea that seems like people kind of get set in these ways of what's right, what's wrong, and they just kind of don't change much from that. And that's why it can be so difficult to argue with people and have these discussions where you're going against some sort of philosophy or belief that they have that goes against like every fiber of their being if you disagree with them. And that's what could be so difficult when people are so emotionally charged with something they've established from a long, long time. And that's why it's hard when, even when you present facts, there's this thing called cognitive dissonance, where you start to maybe contradict yourself a little bit and believe in something that might be false. There might be facts proving how wrong it is, but because you believe in it more on an emotional level and you have this sort of attachment to it, your brain tries to make up for it and you try to create reasons why it's still correct. That happens all the time. And that's because we get really beat down and like affected and offended when someone questions us, because it's something we've been working on, this belief system that we've been adding to slowly for our whole lives. That's why we get so emotionally charged when we're arguing. Now, the question is, how does this all apply, or does it even matter when it comes to the hero's journey? And I think it does. It could be, I mean, I guess looking at the stories, right? Looking at all these famous stories and these movies and books and all these awesome stuff we hear. How many of those stories are the hero? We think, okay, well, what motivates the hero in each of these situations? What is it that gives them a motivation to move beyond where they're at and to pursue something bigger, right? Is it a quest that they have to go on to rescue someone? Is it some goal that they want to achieve, something big that they want to accomplish, right? Is it, you know, something they're doing to protect the people they love? Is it something done for the greater good, right? There's so many different types, and you could think, well, yeah, that's the reason. But here's where the moral philosophy comes in. The moral philosophy is what defines how important that thing is in the first place. For example, you know, maybe there's a You know, maybe there's some movie. There's a movie called I think it's called Five. Is it 5 Minute Mile or 4 Minute Mile? I think it's 4 Minute Mile. Yeah, and the guy's basically trying to get the mile time. It's a really awesome movie, and it's all about him trying to get a faster mile time and just the what it means to him. It doesn't just mean running faster. It's how his relationships are riding on his, or how his relationships are falling apart in his life, and his family life just sucks, and his older brother's selling drugs and stuff like that, and getting some really bad stuff. His mentor is failing, I think, health-wise, I think, is part of the story, and I might be butchering it a little bit. But anyway, the whole idea is that it's like, well, it's just about a kid trying to run faster. Yeah, he has a goal. Of course, it's just his goal. He just wants to run faster. Well, but what's giving that importance? What's making that goal even matter to him, right? I could say, oh yeah, my goal is to climb Mount Everest. But as I say that, that just doesn't seem like something I want to do. Partially because I don't handle the cold very well. But two, it's just something that I haven't established as being super important. Not because it's just not important generally, but for me, I hate to use the phrase, but my truth, for example, or my moral philosophy, that's something that I believe is true, is that for me, that's not going to give me that's not going to give me a sense of value or accomplishment. That could change. But right now, it just doesn't feel, there's just not a whole lot of emotional weight to it. And it doesn't seem like a goal that I would be willing to dedicate myself to. Maybe I'm not making sense, but I guess these are kind of my ramblings here of just thinking about what leads the character to make the decisions or place the value he does on the goal at hand, right? Look at like Lord of the Rings, and he's given this, Frodo's given this ring, and he's quested and tasked to destroy it. It's his, of course, he realizes it's for the greater good to destroy it, but it's his philosophy, his moral philosophy saying, I have the means to destroy this thing. I better do that in order to protect everyone else. That's kind of the fundamental philosophy that's leading him to even pay attention to that quest and actually go for it. That's why we don't make movies about just anybody. We make movies about the people who have established these solid beliefs and acted on them. That's at the end why we act. We do things because we believe in what we're doing. I mean, another interesting way, this kind of just came to mind, it's popped in, so it might not totally connect, but I was thinking of the Captain America Civil War. Great, great movie, right? It's kind of the collision or the division between kind of Team Iron Man and Team Captain America and their philosophies. And basically it's summed up by Captain America saying his fundamental belief or his moral philosophy is that, they're disagreeing over the Sokovia Accords and whether they should sign away their, maybe not their rights, but their freedoms as heroes and able to act when they can or when they should. And they've kind of come to this point where, the tipping point of where Captain America is saying that you can't sacrifice one person to save, to save multiple, right? He won't risk the relationship he has with his buddy, Bucky. He won't risk that or sacrifice that one relationship in order for everything else to fall into place. And Iron Man says it's best to do what you can for the greater good. Captain America says on individual level, individual relationships matter more than the greater good. And Iron Man says the greater good is more important than these individual relationships, basically. And maybe some people might disagree with me. I'm just kind of looking back on that, and that's kind of what I'm thinking about right now with how it goes. But they both come to this conclusion that they are right, 100% right. Captain America says, I can't sacrifice my friend, even if it means holding the team together. And again, they disagree on the idea of surrendering their rights as heroes because, Captain America believes it's wrong to put this check and balance on these powerful people, these powerful beings who are in times of crisis are able to respond and help. And Iron Man says, well, no, because a lot of casualties are caused by our interference. So we should just let other people manage it. So just anyway, they both think they're right. And that's what leads to such a bitter argument and such a bitter fallout, because in the end, they both are kind of right. There's no one to decide whether that's fundamentally right or wrong. It's just, it comes from different parts of their subconscious. It comes from different parts of their upbringing. It comes from different parts of their moral philosophy. It comes from different parts of their life. It's culminating up to that point where they've decided that that's what they believe is right. So they're both right and they're both wrong. And it's kind of based on circumstance. And we could go on in circles and figure out who's actually right. And it's just one of those things that, you know, you might agree with one side or the other, but I don't think you can claim that one of them is actually more true than the other. And that's what I think is moral philosophy is. It's this, we typically tend to agree on a lot of the same fundamental things, but when it comes to like an issue like that, bam, big disagreement there. And that's why I think it's so important to understand that, because one, for us, it's just interesting to think of, maybe it's not so much important to understand it as it is interesting, but it's just cool and interesting to think about what leads me to put the value or put these values or place that value and importance on a certain goal. And it actually motivates me to make the choices that help me accomplish the goal and why it's going to be beneficial for me. Why, you know, these heroes that sacrifice so much for other people, you know, I love watching military movies, and it's always these stories of bravery and just sacrifice. And it's one of the things, I think it's one of those traits that's so common among any soldier, anybody in the military, is just this selflessness of being able to put themselves on the line for other people. It's amazing. It's inspirational. And that comes down to a philosophy of the military. Philosophy is like, you look out for your brother because he's supposed to look out for you. And if you always have that mentality, then no one gets left behind, right? It's amazing. It's amazing. It's so inspirational. Yet that's a moral philosophy that's established and adopted by a group. And you see that, and that's what gives them importance. That's what allows them to keep making the choices, to keep sacrificing themselves. So it's just interesting to start noticing and seeing on a deeper level what motivates people to do what they do. Any hero, any story, there's a moral philosophy in play that allows the hero to either, you know, place a lot of value in accomplishing a goal. They might have some big goal and they think, and their moral philosophy states that, you know, trying and failing is way better than just never even giving it a shot. That's their moral philosophy. That's a belief that they have, and that's what motivates them to try it. Or maybe it's a quest that they have to go and rescue someone, right? So their moral philosophy says, yep, protecting innocent people and saving people that need help is more important than me being comfortable. That's a moral philosophy that motivates them. Yeah, the physical, temporal, real thing that's in front of them is someone needs to be saved, but they're doing it because their philosophy pushes them to. If they didn't have that belief system, then they'd go, who cares? But that's what leads them to make that choice. Anyway, I think I'll kind of wrap up here. I've been rambling for so long, but that has just kind of been my thoughts. As we just take a little bit of a deeper look, look into what it takes and what it is to have a moral philosophy and why it's important. And it's just good to keep building on yours. I have this thing called a philosophy journal where I put in quotes or phrases or ideas that resonate with me so deeply that I know that I believe them and they feel right and they feel good. And I only write things down in this journal if it would be something I would be willing to stand by and adopt as a way of being. And so, you know, I think that's something that I think a lot of people should do to kind of establish, what do you believe in? And recognize, are there any outdated and old, you know, beliefs that I have, any ideals that I just actually don't agree with anymore? Or is anything that I do, you know, think is true, but I don't live to it in the best way? Anyway, I think that's just something that every hero, whether they're in a story or whether it's in ourselves, that we kind of come to face with that. So that is it for today. Peace out, everybody.